Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of How to Thrive, a podcast about mind and body well-being for the modern woman. I am your host, Nikki Hursthaus, a dietitian and yoga teacher, and within my day-to-day work, I help amazing women feel confident around food and in their body. There is a lot of noise in the nutrition, health, and wellness space, and this podcast is a tool to help you feel confident and empowered in your choices so you can thrive. This week on the podcast, I am so excited to introduce you to my guest, Amy. Amy is the creator of Warrior School, an online, individualized, and group coaching program for women. She offers 14 years of experience in coaching, nutrition, hormonal health, and training. I first crossed paths with Amy back when I was studying dietetics in Melbourne. And I cannot wait to share this conversation with you today. Welcome, Amy, to the podcast this week. I'm really happy to have you here, and it's awesome to be chatting to you again after we had a chat for your podcast, Warrior School. How are you?
I'm well. Yeah. And our podcast that we did together, I got such cool feedback on it. Yeah, it really resonated with so many women. Yeah, they loved the iceberg analogy.
That's awesome. And actually, I just recently put a podcast episode out just on the iceberg analogy because it does need explaining sometimes as well.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm well. I'm good. We were just talking before we started recording. It's podcast day.
It is. You've had a big day already of planning and talking. So we've got some more talking to do. And for those who haven't discovered you yet, do you want to just give us your story, your background? How did you get to where you are today, sitting on this couch from Vancouver, recording with me?
Yeah, I'm sitting in my podcast chair. I'll give you the short version. How about that? Yeah. I guess I'll start with what I do now. So I'm fur mama to Hank, who's here laying down on the floor. I am a podcast host to the Warrior School podcast, which I had Nikki on a little while ago. I am the creator of Warrior School, which is a online individualized program for women. I teach them how to get more energy, build insane strength, and create the body they love through training, food, and mindset work. That's what I do now. We'll go back a little bit, and I guess I'll just start where we met. So Nikki and I met when we did our master's in dietetics, and I got into it because of my sister who experienced anorexia. So she's endured anorexia for a number of years while it was just after I finished high school. So I was actually going to go into performing arts. I danced and did drama all throughout high school. I even did it for my HSC and then applied to performing arts schools in Australia and was going to go there. And then she got sick and she was sick for quite a while. And that birthed my fascination with our relationship to food and body, just watching her struggle. I was raised in an environment or a family that wasn't super body positive the way that, you know, the language that was used in the house. My mum was always on a diet. My aunt was always on a diet. There was always talk about weight, shape, or size. And unfortunately, my baby sister, you know, part of, I guess, someone experiencing disordered eating or an eating disorder is their environment. So she endured that. And helping her through that experience is what birthed that fascination. So then I was like, you know what? Nope, I'm going to be a dietitian and I'm going to specialize in eating disorders. That's what I'm going to do. So I went and did my bachelor in exercise science and nutrition, just like put my head down for 3 years, studied really hard, did really well, moved to Melbourne, got into Deakin to their master's dietetics program, went through that. We spoke a little bit about that experience and kind of our learning coming out the other side. It was really clinical, quite unsatisfying for me. I'm not going to speak for every dietitian. There's some dietitians that love it, but really unsatisfying. And I think what was missing for me was like the training piece that had been a huge piece in my life. Like I'd started gymnastics when I was three. I danced. I played competitive field hockey. I've been in a gym since I was like 14 years old. While I was waiting to start my master's, I started as a PT right in the middle of Melbourne in the PricewaterhouseCoopers building. So it was like corporate. So I worked with a lot of corporate people. And so I did PT for a year or two before I actually did my master's. So training was a huge piece. And then I did our master's program. I found some really amazing mentors in the disordered eating space and eating disorder space. So I learned from them. I went into private practice. I worked mostly with people who had disordered eating, eating disorders, body image. But I just didn't feel quite right. Like it wasn't, something was missing. And it took me about a year to be like, you know what? This is really hard. Like I don't want to work at this end of it. Like it brought up a lot with my sister and it was just, it's extremely hard work. Obviously so satisfying and to help someone through that. But I was like, you know what? I want to go to the other end. Like I want to be in the place where I can educate and lead and teach and like try and prevent or reduce the risk of it happening. So I was like, I just can't do it. So I left private practice, went back to the training space. And around that time, I started to work with a lot more women, women that had goals to change their body or were dieting or were low on energy. And so I started to pay a little bit of attention then when I went back to the training space, because mostly I worked with a lot of males in the corporate setting. That was kind of the bulk of my work, but I moved and shifted to a different training environment, started to work with more women, and kind of not gave the food piece away or the dietitian piece away. I brought it into my work. But I also went to work for the Butterfly Foundation, which is a non-for-profit organization in Australia that does workshops on body image and self-esteem in schools. So I went in there and we did presentations and workshops. And I really love that. Like I love teaching the kids about body image and self-esteem and how can we nurture these things and build confidence and, you know, look at social media. Does it inspire? Does it trigger? So I did that for a while while I was training. And then I guess I trained people for a really long time in Melbourne. Like I lived there for 7 years and my work slowly kind of moved into working mostly with females. I also competed in Olympic weightlifting. So I trained a lot. There was a while there where I trained like 6 days a week, 3 or 4 hours a day. And over time, I began to notice that like my energy was lower, my mood was a bit low. I kept on getting injured or there was niggles. And one day I got injured quite badly. I dislocated one of my ribs. And so I couldn't lift for about 5 months. And so I went looking for, okay, well, what's missing? Like I had an amazing coach. I was on an amazing program. I did look after myself, like mobility wise, you know, trying to balance out my training. Yes, it was a lot, but you know, I also fueled myself what I thought was fairly well. And then I came across like Dr. Stacey Sims' work, and this was like, I guess, 7 or 8 years ago. And she was starting to speak about female physiology and hormones and like the menstrual cycle. And I had never really thought about it, which seems crazy. You know, like I'm a female. I've had my cycle since I was like 13 or 14. I have done 2 science degrees. Yet I never really thought about it. And so I started to read all her research and look into it. And I thought, huh, this is really interesting. Like our hormones change. And I didn't really know that. And that could impact like how we feel, maybe how training goes, how we recover. And so I got so fascinated that I started then to kind of bring it into my training. So I tracked the day of my cycle. How did I feel? What did I notice? I started a training journal and I just started really tracking and noticing. And then I kind of realized that, yeah, there were times that, maybe it felt easier. I could lift more weight, and there were other times that it felt a bit harder. And what could I do that to kind of support my training? Because I wanted to go back into Olympic weightlifting, which I did. And that kind of brings me, I guess, into the third piece that I do for work. So all my work revolves around training, food, or like energy, and the menstrual cycle. And I guess our relationship to all of those three and how they are in relationship together. Mm. And then I moved to Canada like 7 years ago, left my whole business behind, came here and went back into gyms, coached Olympic weightlifting, coached mobility, did one-on-ones. And then I thought, you know what? I need to create something. It needs to be online. I need to be able to travel back and forth between Australia. I know it has to be with women. It has to be about training, nutrition, our physiology. And it's kind of grown over the last 4 years into like what Warrior School is today.
Mm. It's an amazing journey. And so, gosh, when will the fifth birthday be of Warrior School?
Oh, you know what? I really wish I knew that. But
I mean, that's a milestone in itself.
I know my podcast birthday, so my podcast turned 4 not too long ago, and I did a massive sprint and a massive birthday celebration for that. And I should actually find the exact date of Warrior School, but I don't know that off the top of my brain. I think it's around the same time as the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, so we're coming into next year will be sort of a big milestone then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great to reflect on that. And one thing that we'll talk about, but you did sort of describe it, was like when you started tracking your cycle and your training and you were recording like how you're feeling and what you were doing and sort of that process, it's exceptionally mindful, like every single day, just being a lot more in tune. I guess, how was that process? Was it quite difficult just to kind of stop and actually start to experience that and notice that every day?
Yeah, I guess I had started my training diaries maybe a year or two before that, like when I started working with my coach in 2012. Then we really started to get into lifting in 2013. So it was probably a couple of years of writing in my training diary. So my training diary would have what I did in my training, the weights. And then as I got deeper into weightlifting and I started to experience things just like pain or discomfort or certain injuries, I would write them in my training diary. And then when I got pretty badly injured and then I found the cycle stuff, yeah, what I did was just start by writing the day at the top of my training journal. And then what I would do is I would just kind of flick through and just notice my training. So if it was a hard session or an off session, I was just kind of paying attention to the day that I was on. I didn't really know or understand yet. It wasn't until a few years later that how well you fuel yourself and recover has a much bigger impact on your training than your menstrual cycle. I didn't quite click that yet. I kind of thought, okay, this cycle stuff, maybe it has a huge piece when it comes to our training. And yes, for some females, women that have maybe hard cycles, a lot of PMS stuff, or, you know, maybe there's some stuff going on there. Yeah, the cycle can be hard and it can really impact their training or even their life. But for me, I always had a regular cycle. It always arrived on time and always without symptoms. And so I was focusing on it and I thought that, okay, maybe it's going to have a huge impact, but it didn't really find a massive impact. I just kind of started to understand, okay, in that second half towards the end of my cycle, it all just felt a little harder. And I guess I was just less hard on myself because I was very attached to weightlifting, very attached to how well I lifted. My self-worth was like based on the bar and my performance. And I guess the cycle stuff and the tracking just lessened that burden that I put on myself about like, come on, like get your shit together and perform, being like, okay, there's a physiology piece that can play a role that maybe makes it feel a little bit harder. And I guess after tracking it now for, I don't know, it's probably been like 10 years or so, and then working with so many women that I get them to track their cycles, I think my biggest learning is that, yeah, how well we fuel ourselves, recover, manage our sleep and our stress, that has a way bigger impact on our training and our hormones than our actual menstrual cycle. Yeah.
And it is, because it is that, I guess, holistic piece, which you sort of learned from your own experience, that just focusing on training and food is not enough. It's got to be a little bit more well-rounded than that. And so you moved to Vancouver. Well, we've moved to Canada, and you had more experience, and then you thought, well, I need to bring this all together. I guess, how did Warrior School really begin in the early days? Like, what did it look like at the start?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So it actually started off with women's body weight strength classes. So when I moved out of a gym setting and I wanted to go out on my own, this was like a year or two into being over here. And I had worked with women in a one-on-one setting in other gyms. And that wasn't working for them. Like, I was seeing them because they were burnt out, they were injured, they couldn't get results, they weren't getting stronger, they were getting really frustrated, which is what I've seen in my work for a really long time. A lot of women, you know, they'll do something and it will totally work for a while. Like, it will, yeah, like a diet will work, a way of training will work for a while. But then what they realize is that then it doesn't. And then they're like, well, why? Like, why isn't it working? I'm frustrated. I keep getting injured, or I'm in pain, or I'm not making progress. And so some of those women knew that what they were doing, the way that they were training, they were in like a high intensity CrossFit style space. And look, I think CrossFit is amazing when it's done well, coached well, when you're fueled well, when you've got a strong foundation. It's a beautiful sport. But for a lot of women, it ain't very good, especially if you have hormonal problems, you don't have a strong foundation. Yeah. So they actually came out and joined me here. I created a studio space in our place here, and I just started to teach women's bodyweight strength training classes. And then I have been working with my business coach for quite a long time, maybe 5 or 6 years. And we started to come up with this idea of taking it online. And so it wouldn't just be for women here in Vancouver. I could work with maybe some, actually one of my old Elise, one of my original women that I work with in Australia, she actually reached out to me via email, and she's like, Amy, would you coach me like online, one-on-one? And I was like, yeah, like I never thought of doing that, but yeah, I will. And so she was actually the first person that I wrote programs online, and then we conversed and we trained together online till she just had her first baby a year or so ago. And then that gave me the idea of like, yeah, okay, I could work with women that I worked with in Australia. I could work with women like all over the world. And so the first rendition, I guess, of Warrior School was created. I wasn't super clear. I was learning a lot about business, about my messaging, about what I was trying to do back then, I guess 5 years ago. But now, yeah, I'm really clear. I work mostly with women that are in their 40s that are kind of entering this, what I am kind of calling this second life, you know, life after maybe having kids or being in a certain career for a long time. And they're like, there's a shift that's happening, whether that's in their body or their physiology, or actually their whole life is changing. And I'm supporting them through that experience. So mostly, yeah, women that are late 30s, early 40s, if not into their late 40s and 50s, going through perimenopause and menopause, and helping them learn, I guess, how to train properly, like how to build a proper foundation and how to eat in a way that works for them and gives them energy, and do all of this, I guess, with the hormonal changes or life, you know, like you talk about, Nikki, a lot, stress, like how do we do this stuff with life?
Because life happens.
Life happens.
Yeah. And a lot of these women coming from different backgrounds, but there's sort of a similar, I guess, life stage, maybe different things going on. What are the biggest challenges that you're seeing with these women that kind of drive them into warrior school?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And I think, you know, I wasn't even sure why I called it warrior school at the start. Like, I knew there was this idea of a warrior, you know, and to me, she was like fierce and bold and connected and strong and resilient and capable. And yeah, like I was pretty clear on the warrior part, but I was like, why did you pick school? And I guess like education for me has like been a huge part. Yeah, like I've done 2 degrees. I love reading and researching and learning. And I'm not talking just like school education. I'm like talking experience, you know, qualitative kind of education of like doing something for 14 years. That's education. Mm-hmm. And so I think I also called it school is because a lot of women that I work with, they are consumers. They love consumption. They love learning. And now I'm not against consumption. I think it's great. But most of us overconsume and we overconsume information, creates more stress, more overwhelm. But I knew a part of it had to do with education. And I think I was just so blown away that none of this stuff is taught in school. And it might change now. Like I've been out of school for a while, but like,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to ask someone that's like currently in the school system. But I was like, why aren't we taught how to train? Like, why would that have to just fall on maybe the soccer coach or the hockey coach? And they don't really know. Yeah, they know like about the sport, but no one knows about maybe strength training or like just teaching women how to train. And then we weren't really taught about our menstrual cycles and hormones, really, or we're not really taught about food, unless you go and do a degree in food. But even then, there's so much that we're not really taught, we have to learn it through our own experience about what works for us and kind of gather, I guess, information and opinions from lots of different sources and then create our own strategy. And so I was like, okay, well, Warrior School has to be the place where women come to learn all of the stuff that they should have learned in school. I think this is why we've struggled for so long. Like, imagine if we taught, you know, our young people and our daughters today. Now, I'm not saying it's going to work every time. Obviously, the culture is really strong and there's, you know, other things that play into it. But if we create a different culture as women that are in our 30s, 40s, and 50s and teach, you know, our young people that, hey, like, this is, you know, how we can look after ourselves and our physiology. I think the younger generation would feel so much more empowered and confident when it came to their health. That's where I guess the name kind of came from. It's like this blend of, two of those ideas.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked a bit in the past, both in webinars and in the podcast episode we did for Warrior School, about how women in this age and stage, it's so often that they're seeking weight loss as like that driver for something. And is that something you see as well when they're coming into Warrior School? It's like the end result, they want to lose weight.
Yeah, so the cool thing is that a lot of women that I end up working with have actually been in my like world. That's what like my business coach would call it. Yeah, like my world is obviously, you know, social media or emails or podcasts or my life for at least a year, if not a couple. So most women that I end up working with have been around kind of, we can talk about that as well, like women often waiting until they're like ready to do something. We've got to be, no, I'll do it when I'm like X, Y, and Z. We'd like to wait till we feel like 100% ready. Anyway, so often they've been around for a while, which means they've been in different other worlds for a while. I guess a big thing for me is when I started the podcast at around episode 50 or 60, I started to get a lot of guests on, guests that I had learned a lot from. So Josh and Jeannie from Real Food Gangsters do a lot with the thyroid and the metabolism. There's some other amazing females in this space that have a similar worldview, philosophy, approach as I do. And so I started to connect with them and bring guests on my podcast. And then as a result, you know, I was on their podcast. They had quite big audiences. And so then the spread or the attention just got a little bit bigger. And a lot of the people I built relationship with were in the metabolic space. So what that really just means is like, they talk a lot about stress and the metabolism and the nervous system and, you know, how to feed our bodies so we have energy, our cells have energy. They talk a lot about the biofeedback of our body. So like, how is our appetite and mood and cycle and temp and pulse. And so a lot of women that came to kind of see me to talk about the training piece had learnt some stuff around, hey, actually I'm stressed. I've spent the last few years or decade undernourishing, like overdoing with like messy hormones and all of these issues, like gut problems, like you talk about, Nikki, all the time. And so they had started to do some learning around stress and their nervous system and nourishment. And often I won't work with a woman who has a lot of healing to do. Basically, I'll call it healing. And what that means is like learning about her stress, learning about her body, eating more food, not being in such a dire kind of hormonal state where there's a lot of thyroid stuff, a lot of hormonal stuff. Like, we've got to really look at the energy piece and managing the stress and kind of creating some stability before we, I'm not going to say before we even start to move, because there's plenty of movement that can meet us where we're at in that stage. But just my approach is kind of one step further. I want you to have a little bit of stability, a little bit of understanding about stress in your body, and be open to like, yeah, I guess solidifying that energy strategy. And then training is such a huge piece of my work. So most women are coming to me and they have a bit of an idea. Now, there's some that I do work with that at the start of our work together, we do focus a lot on the energy and the stress piece and the mindset piece. That tends to be, there's quite a pattern, and I'm sure you see it, Nikki, in your work, that when we start something, you know, often we need energy to start that new thing because it's hard. We definitely need a lot of mindset help or mindset work to push through the hard feelings and the change that's happening. And we really need someone to support us to do that. So that tends to be a bulk of my work at the start. And then as they get deeper into their journey, it becomes more about like the training and the tweaking and the pushing and teaching them yet that, yes, actually, you can push your body in a way that's respectful to move you to where you want to go. But to answer your question, 95% of women will come in with body composition change as a goal. They will want to lose weight or change their body composition, depending on kind of who they've worked with previously and the knowledge that they have around, okay, it's not just about losing weight or the number on the scale going down. It's about changing the body composition. So most women are under-muscled. And so it's not about really losing loads of weight. It's about building more muscle mass that supports us to, yes, change our body composition, but to have more energy, use energy better, stronger bones, more resilient. And so I think it's some women have an understanding of that. And so they are very clear. They're like, okay, I want to build more muscle. Like, I just want to change my body composition. There's other women that haven't really learned that yet. Again, not their fault, just not taught. Our body's made up of all of these different tissues and the weight on a scale, it really doesn't mean shit. Like, it's like, what's the composition of the body made up of? But yeah, I think it's still huge. And I don't know if you see it. Do you see it in your work, Nikki, a lot, that the one of the biggest goals is to lose weight or to change their body?
Yeah, because they often feel like that's the ticket to happiness. Like that's the ticket to solve whatever life problems that are going on. They're like, but if I lose weight, I'll be happy. If I lose weight, this will happen. But it's also like weight's not a behavior. You're not like directly in control of that at all. It's like, but you are in control of your behaviors. And I guess that's one, that energy piece and the foundations. And then it's layering on with what you do is like more tailored and individualized training, because it's got to be different for everyone.
Yeah. I know, just before we started recording, we were just talking about a little bit about the extremes, like I see in the culture. So like fitness culture down one end and then the body positivity down the other. Now, I'm not saying either are bad or wrong at all. They just are what they are. I guess my work is in the middle of being like, you know what? You can not love the way that you look, not love the way you feel in your body all of the time. But the same as you, Nikki, you can respect your body. And it's our job, yeah, in the body that we have is to respect it. And so it's the and, you know, I'm a huge believer in not or, like not all or nothing, not either end. And yes, you can want to change your body and still respect it and love it and nourish it and nurture it and be patient with it while you, you know, learn more about it, deal with your stress, balance your hormones, learn how to train properly. It's an and I think that's with everything.
It's a huge mindset shift that's required, because there's the mindset that it's the end goal, right? It's like, I've got to get there, but it's like, oh, along the way, you've still got to respect your here and now body at any point in time, no matter what it is. And you see it a lot when women are pregnant and then postpartum, like there's huge changes in the body. And then, you know, these things happen again through like perimenopause and menopause. And, so, you know, that's where it might feel more out of control. Like even like, I guess in pregnancy, I mean, it's sort of out of control. Your body's doing things, but you can anticipate a little bit of it to an extent. But then with the whole journey through perimenopause and menopause, I guess women majority that I talk to don't have any idea what might happen. They don't know what to expect, don't know who to talk to, don't know like, you know, how to manage what's happening. And I can totally see how that can then, I guess, fracture and disconnect a woman from her body even more. So it's sort of like, where are they at before they're going through this piece in life, and then how do they come out the other side?
Yeah, I guess you could speak to that, because you birthed a little baby into the world, so I'd love to know, out of interest, like, how did you navigate that? We spoke a little bit about it on my podcast, but not super deep. But yeah, like I'd like to hear from you.
I think the pregnancy piece is interesting, because you are seeing things change, and it's like a little bit like the excitement of it. So the change is exciting. And then like when you give birth, you're sort of like, well, I've just had this baby, but I still look 5 months pregnant. And that's one of the crazy things, is like it takes a while for your body to change. And then, you know, depending on whether you're breastfeeding or not and the changes in your body and your hormones, I mean, the hormonal roller coaster is next level. And that's something that's it was talked about a bit, like, oh, you know, watch out for like day 3 post-birth, you know, the baby blues and all this sort of thing. But it was never actually talked about, like, well, how do you approach those days when you've not slept and you're like trying to breastfeed and you like don't know what to do, but then like your hormones are going off the chart and you just are like, I cannot handle this. But also your body feels so foreign, because something that you've been carrying, you know, the person you've carried inside of you for like 9 months is now outside of you, but you feel like something's missing because it's like not there. But it takes so long for women to get to a place where they can feel comfortable in their body again. And I think, you know, despite the era I work in, despite being a dietitian, there have definitely still been times postpartum where I've been like, oh, I need to lose weight. I need to like get my body back to where it was, or like I need to, you know, because it's trying to accept with everything else going on, it's like your body's foreign, like it's so different to what it was before. But you're just trying to work out like, well, how do I navigate this? The hardest thing is also when your clothes in your wardrobe don't fit, but then your body's constantly changing. So you're like, well, I don't want to buy new clothes because then certain things fit now, but they might not fit like later. And it's all over the show. And there's so much about getting your body back to like where it was before, but it will never be the same. Because your pelvis changes, like your hips will change for sure. And if you're breastfeeding, your breasts change. And, you know, some people, they will go up cup sizes and they'll stay like that. But others will go back down. Like it's just so crazy. But I think it is that it feels foreign for quite a while that you want to be able to control it. With the limited energy, the energy piece is massive when it comes to that. So it's quite a kind of web of mess of hormones and energy and stress and not enough sleep. And you don't have the foundations in place postpartum to be able to then even think about actually changing your body in a way. I guess the focus should always actually be, well, we just need to lay the foundations again in this new body and then kind of carry it forward, looking after it as much as possible.
Yeah, it's you know, I often say that the body is the boss. You know, we like to think the mind is the boss, like we're the boss. Yeah, like this intelligent mind that we have. And of course, yes, it's intelligent, but the body is the boss. Like it's the boss. And if you allow her to lead you and you get good at listening and receiving and you're connected and you trust, not always easy. Yeah. And I haven't birthed a little human into the world, but I've been injured many times. I've had chronic pain. It's the same thing. You feel foreign in your body. You feel lost and overwhelmed and stuck, and you just want to change it and not be there. And the more that you put up a fight against her and like be like, there's still days where I'm like, come on, buddy, you silly B-I-T-T-H, like just do what I want you to do, like when I want you to do it. But if we are like that, that creates a lot of friction and a lot of stress. And that's probably one of the biggest things that I've learned is that, excuse me, your body is the boss. She needs to lead you. Now, I'm not saying that you can't make choices to obviously manipulate, and not in a bad way. I mean, in a good way. Yeah. Like manipulate your energy, manipulate your cycle, like all of, you know, manipulate your food so you produce more breast milk. Like manipulation doesn't have to be bad. It can be good. Mm-hmm. There are decisions and behaviors and actions that you can take that can change maybe her physiology, yes, even how she looks, but we've got to do it in a way that works with her and what she's telling us right now and not what we think that she needs. And we're like at step Z when we need to be at step B. That's the biggest friction, I think, Nikki, for a lot of women. It's this frustration of trying to control her. And it's like, nope, she'll push back even harder if you try and control her. So all you can do is listen and then work with her by making the choice or the behavior that's going to support her right now to get you where you want to go. There's nothing wrong with where you want to go, but you got to do it in a way that works with your body, not against it.
Yeah. And that's the sustainability of it and also longevity. And because if you're doing it, you're doing this for the long term, not I'm going to do this for 6 weeks and then give up. We'll do something different. We'll constantly jump from different things.
Also hard. Yeah. I guess it's hard. Like even before accepting the longer way to, because often when we're working with the body, we're rebuilding their foundation, we're looking at the stress, we're looking at all those iceberg things you talk about. It's the long way. It's the longer way. It's not a short way. And there's really no way we can like rush it, especially in that first year. Like we can't cheat it. If I had like a cheat code or like a simple short way, I would give it to you. It's like sometimes I tell my women, I ain't holding back a secret. Like I don't have any secrets here. Like this is it. Yeah. We get energy, we manage stress, you learn about your body, you build a connection, you focus on your sleep, you start training wherever your body's at right now, and we build on that. And it's probably going to take about a year, some women a bit less, some women more. But like I don't have any other secrets. There's no and I think accepting the fact that it might take you a year to actually, after the birth of your baby, after an injury, after having time off, to not get back to where you were, to feel stronger, more confident, resilient, capable, whatever it is you want to feel. Mm. We're not going back. We're going forward to how we want to feel and how we want to live. And it just happens that it's going to take a little bit longer to get there. But if you work, if you need support, like in work with, this is why I'm a huge fan of like coaches, like leaders, teachers, practitioners, because they can help you do it in a more, maybe a more efficient and effective way.
Yeah.
And I think we've spoken a little bit about this, the mental load that a lot of women carry. And my good friend Elise, who's a psychologist in Australia, that's what she did her PhD on, mental labor. The mental load that women carry within the family unit is so high that then when they think about trying to manage their own stress or their own food or their own gut or their own training, like, they, of course they want the easy way. Of course they want the simple way, the short way, the quick way. I don't blame them because they've got no mental space left. Yeah. They have to think about so many things when it comes to their family and sustaining the family unit. And that's why I'm like, you got to go get support, like put someone at your table that can be like, okay, this is how we're going to work on your energy. This is where you're going to start with your training. This is like the next step. This is, I'm going to make it the most efficient, effective way possible. And it just can save women's lives, I believe.
Mm. Oh, and huge advocate for that, because with like reducing the mental load, I think sometimes it's also about getting rid of all of the information overload about what they think they should be doing to maintain their health. And once we kind of like, as a coach, you like clear that out, and then it's like, well, this is all you actually need to focus on, and just taking it day by day, week by week. And I just like to say, in the grand scheme of things, a year is actually not that long. It is so hard.
How fast does the first year of your baby's life go?
But also like when you're pregnant for like 9 months, you're like, well, that went like, it's very fast. Like there are times where it feels like it is very slow, and that's the same in the first year of a child's life. At times it feels very slow, but in the grand scheme of things it goes very fast, and it's actually not that much time. So I think that's the thing, like there's like this mental block of doing things for, you know, even 6 months seems like a lot for some people, but it's like, well, you could do something for 6 weeks, but you could end up doing that like four times over because it's not worked for you, or it's not been the right thing for you. Or you could just do like one thing once, which then will just set you up for however many more years, 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you've had Alice. You had Alice on your podcast, originally Alice, Zaslavsky. So she was on my podcast, and we're just talking about how to nurture our children's relationship with food. Obviously, because of my background and my story and my sister, I was super passionate about how we really need to, I believe we need to do a really good job at nurturing our children's relationship with food. And there's two things that she said in that podcast that like blew my mind. And I kind of transferred it over to the training thing. One was 80% of her energy and her time goes into nurturing Hazel, her daughter's relationship with food. And she's made that choice and she was very clear. It's not feasible for everyone, you know, single parent, maybe they need to work, all of this stuff. But that was like really important to her. It was her intention. So 80% of her energy and time is going into this thing, but it's only for the first 5 years or so of a child's life that we really need to nurture that. After that, you know, it's, yeah, of course, there's things that can come into play that can change it, but most of the research says 5 years. And then she set her up, hopefully, for success for the next 5, 10, 15, 20, the rest of her life.
Yeah.
And I feel like we can take that same approach when it comes to our health and our training that, you know, we'll just use food as an example of like, okay, if you want more energy, one of the biggest things with energy, it comes from food. And yes, it comes from sleep, obviously, and like, you know, plugging some of your other stress leakages, but primarily you're going to get it from food, the food that you eat. Now, 80% of your energy may have to go to your food for a time so you feel more confident and you've built a good relationship and you know how to nourish yourself. You don't have to spend 80% of your energy for the next, you know, for 5 years. It might take some women 5 months to get a rhythm of it. I work with women, it takes them 12 months to kind of get this rhythm, really focusing on their food. But I kind of thought about that and I'm like, you know what? I kind of believe that. Yeah. Like we need to really focus on one thing, most of our energy to get that thing kind of solidified to set us up to move to the next stage or to set us up for the next 5, 10, 15 or 20 years. Mm. And the other thing she said was that, you know, we've tried to make children convenient. And she's like, this is really controversial. And I could see why some people might think that, but we really have. We rushed children at the dinner table. We rushed children in the morning. We rushed teenagers when they're on a different circadian rhythm. Like we're trying to fit them into like our busy lives and schedules as like adults. And we do the same thing with our health and training. I walked away from that and I'm like, you know what? We do that with our training. It's like, how can we make this food stuff or this training stuff the most convenient possible? Where it's like, we've got it the wrong way around. It should be, no, I need to focus on my energy and then I can focus on my other things, which make all of those other things way easier.
Yeah.
But it's like, I really like that. I'm not sure what you think about that, but I thought that was the cool way to think about it.
It is because it's like one of those concepts of like women who want to have it all, but you can't have everything all at once. Like, yes, you could have it all, but you can't try and work on everything in one go because, of course, you don't have the energy for that. No one does. And then if you need more energy for just the household and work and everything like that, and then you're trying to do everything else with regards to your health, it's like, well, something's got to give. And it's like, well, which thing is going to fall by the wayside? And I guess we talked a little bit before we started recording about when things don't go to plan and like, how do you adapt training? And that's a big thing I work with women as well. It's like when the speed bumps or the setbacks hit, what do you do? It's about building the foundation so that you can not be overwhelmed by the speed bumps and the setbacks and be like, oh, it's all too hard, I give up. You just then be like, well, how do I keep moving forward despite those as well? And so I guess with what we were talking about and adapting training, what are some of the things you see women who are like, you know, working, careers, everything like that, how do they have to adapt life and training to be able to actually have the progress that they want?
Yeah, it's such a great question, Nikki. For me, I'll always come back to the energy piece. Like, energy is power. Like, if you want to feel powerful in any area of your life or all areas of your life eventually, energy is power. Like, it will give you power in your training, power in motherhood, power in your work, power in presence, even like the ability to be able to be present and focus your attention. So for me, I'll always come back to the energy piece. And yes, food is a big part of that, but obviously our sleep and sunshine and, you know, everything that kind of manages our energy. And I think if you feel really stuck and something's happened, like I call them stress conditions. And so basically we can have these conditions that come up, which could be illness or sickness, or our kids are sick, or a menstrual cycle can even be a stress condition. We're traveling, where different seasons can be stress conditions. Basically anything that kind of maybe disrupts the rhythm or we perceive as stressful is really just, it's a condition that we're either perceiving or actually is stressful for the body. We want to be able to create a plan or a strategy that we can modify and adapt what we were doing. So for example, you know, I've started to work with women and we've started their training program. You know, one woman was out in the backyard with her son and she tore a calf muscle. Now, if she was just following a training program on an app, she'd be out, she'd be down and out, and she wouldn't be able to keep going because she doesn't have the knowledge. Again, not her fault, because this is not what she does for a living. Yeah. But she doesn't have the knowledge to modify the plan or the strategy or the training. And so then she's going to feel lost. And unless she goes and sees a physio, obviously, but then seeing the physio only once a week and getting some little exercises is going to lengthen out the process of her recovery to get back to training. But she just told me and I was like, yep, we're going to change the whole program. So we just changed the whole program. We rehabbed her calf muscle. Then we got back on track. It's the same with anything that kind of comes up. So a lot of women, they're going to get sick. You're going to get sick and you're going to have time off. So how do we modify the plan or the strategy to start our practice again or to start nourishing our bodies again? Because when we're sick, sometimes we can't eat. Yeah, we don't want to eat. If we've had a stomach bug and we've been vomiting, of course, we're not going to eat a lot of food. So how do we create the plan and the strategy to come back into the work that we were doing? And I think that's the hardest part for a lot of women, is that they don't feel confident in modifying or adjusting. They have a lot of self-doubt, and mostly it's a disconnection problem, I would say. They're just so disconnected from their body that they don't know what their body wants or needs. And then there's a bit of an education gap there.
Yeah.
They just don't know. Like, and no one expects you to know. It's just, this is why I do the work that I do. It's like, I want to teach these women to be like, okay, this is my strategy. When I'm sick, I know that, okay, my focus is on trying to nourish as best as I can, sleep, sunlight, walking. Then how do we get back into it? If we've had like maybe 3-4 weeks off and we were really sick, we obviously can't come back and do what we were doing straight away. So how do we come back into it? Okay, well, maybe we just do a little bit of like gentle cardiovascular zone 2 work, or maybe we just do some mobility. Maybe we do come back in and just do body weight strength training. And then we start coming back into the weights. Okay, maybe we come back at 50% of volume. Yeah. Or if you train 4 times a week, maybe you just start with 2. Maybe if you did 3, 4, 5 sets of something, maybe you start with 1 or 2 sets. And then maybe if you were lifting X amount of weight, you just pull it back and you lift. I don't know. I always tell my women, like, show up to the session. The body's going to tell you, you know, trying to predict how it's going to go is going to cause you stress and frustration. Just do what you can, as in like sleep your optimal amount if you can, nourish as well as you can, show up and just let's just see what happens. Let the body lead you. But I want you to be able to have a strategy to change the training if it's not going to plan, because I don't want you to just give up altogether or walk away. Or I want you to truly know that you can walk away with humility because it's not the right thing for you to do today, because you are really listening to your body. And I guess you would do this in your work, Nikki. It's so individualized, like how you modify, how you adapt, how you strategize. Yeah, I can kind of give you, you know, okay, this is kind of what I would do, but it depends on every woman and her life and what she's going through, what her body's telling her, as to how we would adapt or modify what we're really doing. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And actually, there's a lot of vulnerability required by women to be able to adapt, because there's the whole, like we talked about before, the all or nothing. Like, I've got to be able to do my program at 110% or there's no point at all. And there is a lot of that messaging out there in the health and fitness space, which when you're just following a program or something that's not with a coach or not individualized, there's a lot of that. Like, you don't know what to do when, you know, there's no wriggle room. So you're like, well, if I don't follow it, then I've failed. And then there's that whole failure piece. And then for women to actually be vulnerable and be like, well, today I'm not 100%, so I can only do my best. And your best is not always going to be the same. You could show up and it could be 20%. But the whole thing is that I've focused on a lot with clients recently is that slow progress is still progress, because there's this mindset, and it is a lot of my clients, they are high achieving perfectionists. They want everything to be like perfect, 102% all the time, or else what's the point? But for them to actually accept and realize that they're still actually making progress just by showing up and just by doing even the bare minimum, you know, if they get sick, if they get injured as well, if work keeps them from being able to do certain things, it's such a mindset shift. But it also requires them to be quite vulnerable to the fact that, like, this is being human, like not being perfect.
Yeah. Well, it brings back in the and bit. Like, I believe we can celebrate ourselves, like where we're at and what we're doing and those small consistent actions. And I do believe we can want more for ourselves. Like, we can want more energy. We can want more progress or to get stronger or to push harder. Or, like, I think that's a big thing that I've, you know, I have a bit of a problem with the whole self-care thing. Yes, women need to respect themselves more, listen to their body, nourish themselves more, slow down, all of those things I totally agree with. But I just, again, when a trend comes through, it kind of is this macro trend and gets taken a little bit too far of, like, the whole idea of don't push yourself at all and, like, be really, like, gentle and be kind and it's okay. And yes, some women, depending on where they are in their journey, they need to do that. But it's an and for me. It's like, you can want this stuff. Yeah. You can demand more from yourself. Like, for me, I've learned to celebrate myself, what I've achieved, where I'm at in my business, in my life. And I demand more from myself, but I'm going to do it in a way that's respectful. So I'm always going to nourish. I'm always going to sleep. I'm always going to listen to the body. I'm going to rest. I'm going to do all of these things, but I'm also still going to push myself because I want to do a lot of stuff with my life. I want to create a lot. I want to help a lot of women. I love working. And I think that's kind of the problem, again, we fall into. It's the same, like we just said before we recorded, Nikki, you could tie out the whole conversation of, like, we got to get off the pendulum. And again, I guess, look, I'm not even against being on the pendulum sometimes, you know, because I like doing sprints and I like going all in and pushing myself, but I only do that for a short amount of time. Mm. I don't do that at the detriment of my health, because I've been there. Yeah. In 2012, I was flat on my back on the floor. I was in pain. I was stressed. And I promised myself I would never feel like that ever again. I would do everything that I could to make sure that my body was nourished, not stressed, balanced. I felt well and healthy. And that's kind of what I've done for the last, you know, decade or so. And I think it's just finding that balance. It's okay. It's even okay to swing sometimes, I guess. It's just maybe don't spend your whole life swinging and doing it in a way that's not respectful and is making you go backwards.
Yeah.
Like, swing, but swing forward in a respectful way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And slow progress is still progress, because it's the journey, isn't it? It's the journey And like, yes, celebrating milestones is so important, because just because your big milestone maybe seem quite far away, there's so many milestones along the way and along that journey to get there. And it's going to change and evolve along the way.
Mm. Yeah.
One thing to kind of touch on before we wrap up is, why, in your professional opinion, personal opinion, just like why in your life and your business is strength training so important for women who are going through the next season of their life, like through perimenopause and menopause? What is it that is so important for women to be focused on training during that time?
Yeah. One, I would say training or moving your body is important for everyone at every stage of your life, because it will be one of the greatest teachers to teach you about your body. It really mm-hmm. will. Moving your body is, I believe, how we really connect with the body and learn more about it. But for women in particular, women who are, you know, even in their 30s, I would say you've got to really start creating a training practice. And in particular, you know, if you want to know why strength training, we can get into that. But for women in their late 30s, their 40s, their 50s, you're going to need to strength train. And look, I'm a big believer in doing movement and training that you love. That's a huge piece. You got to enjoy it. Yeah, there's got to be joy into it. I believe you've got to love it. And like, not all women love strength training. I get that. But if we come back to this idea of, okay, we got to respect our body, and she's going to go through changes. Our hormones are going to change. We're going to age. If we want to age well, and we want to be strong and capable and resilient, you know, no one wants to be old and in pain and not be able to do anything, really, if you're honest. Yeah. If you ask yourself, you're like, no, I don't want to be that person. So strength training is going to help you create a more resilient body that's capable, that's less likely potentially to fall, you know, get osteoporosis, fracture your hip. And, you know, the stats aren't great. I don't know them off the top of my head. But if you are in like your 70s or 80s and you fall and you fracture your hip, the mortality rate from that is like, it's pretty high. It's not great. And so strength training builds muscle. And again, we can come at it from a couple of different points of view. If you want to approach it from the body composition point of view, where you want to, you maybe want to lose a little bit of fat or feel more confident or feel more comfortable in your body, strength training will build muscle mass. Muscle mass is active tissue. So at rest, it is what burns fat for fuel. And so the more muscle mass we have on us, the higher our resting metabolic rate, which means it supports the body composition goal. It also allows us to eat more food, which I don't know about you, but like, I want to eat as much food as I can. Yeah. But it also, it gives us that like strong, connected, stable feeling within our body. Like muscle is that, yes, like I can pick up my groceries and carry them up the stairs, or I can pick up, you know, my grandchildren, or I can bend down with them and play. Like that's, the muscle is doing that. Yeah. It's not really the skeleton. Yes, your bones are pretty strong, but it's the muscle that's going to make your life more efficient, more like more easy, I guess, as you age. Now for women, we've got the hormonal piece. And so estrogen declines as we go into, well, it goes on a roller coaster ride during perimenopause, and then it declines. And then progesterone, she's out of here. And so we don't have the hormones that we did in when we were menstruating.
Yeah.
So we need to create that stimulus somehow. And we have to do it through external load. And the external load is strength training or weightlifting. And so, yes, it will help with our metabolic health, our body composition, our bone mineral density. It'll make life easier.
Yeah, because you can walk up the stairs.
Yeah.
It'll make life easier. And also just like the other things that you enjoy doing in life, like if you go on holiday, if you travel, if you have to do anything like that, or if you actually have goals, like you want to run a certain event or you want to like do a certain hike for multiple days, like you need your body to carry you to do those things.
Yeah, we were on a live coaching call yesterday and I asked my warriors to share a win. And it's kind of cool because it's not going to be what you think it is. Most women will be like, yep, it's going to be about body or, you know, weight or something. Kelsey, when I first met her a couple of years ago, one of the first things she said to me is, I really want to be able to confidently stand up on a wakeboard. Like, I feel so weak. I'm so broken. I can't get up on a wakeboard. On the weekend, she got up on the wakeboard and she had the strongest wakeboarding ride session. I don't know what you call it in the wakeboarding world, that she's ever had in her life. And it's because she's strong. Like, she's been strength training for 2 years. Leah, she's a photographer. Last year, she had to traipse down this beach with all of her camera gear and she was out of breath and she just felt unfit and weak. And then she did the same shoot just this last weekend, not out of breath, could walk through the sand with all of her camera gear. And it's like, that's what matters. That right there. Yes. The byproduct is that you may be able to lift a lot of weight or do a pull-up or you look better in your clothing or you feel better or you lose weight. That's the byproduct. The real magic is you can walk down a beach with like 50 kilos of your camera gear or you can stand up on a wakeboard or you can play sport with your children.
Yeah. You can live. Yeah, I think it's a really important thing to think about why it matters to you, because often when, like we talked about before, like if body composition or weight is the driver for your decision behind doing something, sometimes that's like not enough. It's like not a big enough reason why, because when the speed bumps hit, it's too easy to be like, well, the scales haven't changed, so it's not working. But it's those other things. It's the bigger things in life that matter and that help you get that motivation to be able to keep going. So you were talking about strength training and then you talked about lifting weights. When we talk about strength training, like what does that actually encompass?
Yeah, well, when you asked me the question offline before we recorded I was like, I had to think about it for a minute. I'm like, oh, what is the difference between strength training and weightlifting? I guess because for so long I've used them interchangeably. Yeah. Like, and for me, when I think of strength, I guess I see this like montage of a lot of things in my mind, but a lot of women might not see that. Mm. And so I think it's a great question. We can build strength and we don't have to be lifting weights. Yeah. And a lot of the work that I started off with is body weight strength. Like strength really just means against resistance. And so we can use our own body for the resistance. So a lot of my women, they start with their own body weight and we just start developing basic movement patterns, squat patterns, single leg strength patterns, push-up patterns. And then we can slowly over time start to add load. And so strength training could be body weight strength training, like gymnastic strength training. I would call hand balancing, like handstands is a form of strength training. I would even say, you know, plyometrics, jumping is a form of strength training because you're strengthening the tendons and the ligaments. So I guess when you think of training, there's strength and we can create strength doing things that maybe don't involve weights. And now, yes, weight training, weight lifting is with weights. So often we're talking about kettlebells, dumbbells, barbells, you know, doing squats and deadlifts and presses and lunges with weights. Now, the importance of that is we can go so far with our body, but we need the stimulus of lifting heavy weights. Now, heavy is relative to wherever you are in your journey and in your training age, which just means how long you've been training. So each woman will be different, but she's really got to start lifting weights to get the stimulus to support her hormones, to help her build the muscle, to protect her bones, to support her metabolism, to support her blood sugar, we've got to be lifting actual weights. But there is a journey to get there, and we can start to build strength before we pick up weights. But part of that journey will be you need to pick up weights.
Yeah. Yeah. And that resistance. Now, what about things like reformer Pilates and things like that? Like, this is resistance exercise. How does that differ in the way you would approach training?
Yeah, it's a great question. So when we look at strength, we have like three different areas. So we have muscular endurance, so muscular endurance strength. So things where you do for high reps or hold for long periods of time. So things like reformer Pilates is strength endurance. Mm. So yes, you're using resistance, but often you're going to do it for a long time or many reps. Then you've got hypertrophy, which is more like the bodybuilding type training where you're working like 8 to 10 reps, maybe 8 to 12 reps. And that really works on increasing the density of the muscle. So creating more size in the muscle. And then we've got pure strength training, which is like less than 6 reps, which is really like max effort strength training. So there's different types. And yes, we need all of them. But yeah, depending on where we're starting, Pilates is great. It's strength endurance. But again, most women want that body composition change. So they need to build density in their muscle. So they will need to do a little bit of hypertrophy type training. And then we want that stimulus from that pure kind of strength to give us the stimulus of the hormones that we won't have eventually when we get into our late 40s and into our 50s. Mm. Pilates won't give you that stimulus. Not saying it's not great. It's great. It's great for if you have a back injuries, rehab, postpartum, even to prepare for pregnancy, during pregnancy. They all play a part. And I guess it's just this is the hard part, yeah? One, it's knowing what to do. Two, it's knowing how to fit it all together. And when do I do what I do? And that's why, like, you know, working with someone like Nikki or myself or someone to help guide you, we'll be able to give you that information of like, okay, you know, you've just had a baby. You ain't going to pick up a really heavy barbell right now. But to do Pilates, amazing. It's going to rebuild your pelvic floor, your core strength. You need strength endurance right now. You're going to hold that baby for a really long time in a really awkward position. We've got to build like that strength endurance. Okay, yeah. You're in your late 40s. You're going through menopause. You got to really start to lift heavy load. You don't really need to do a lot of strength endurance stuff. And so it's just when?
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like a seasonal menu, right? It's going to change depending on what's in season. And I don't think anyone should have ever expected that they should be able to know this or be able to manage this all on their own as well. Because it's a lot. Like that's adding to your mental load if you're just trying to do it by yourself. You're making it harder by trying to do it by yourself. So from everything we've talked about today, and all of the work you do, what would be the 3 biggest messages that you would like yell from the rooftops to women?
You need to eat enough food. You need to eat enough. You need to create your own nutrition strategy that works for you, and you'll know because your body will tell you through all your biofeedback. But you got to eat enough food. You have to get energy in. That's like number one. Number two is there's a big difference between training and training with a strategy. There's a big difference between eating and eating with a strategy. So number two would be you got to create a strategy or get someone to help you create a strategy, create a plan. And then number three would probably be building the confidence or the skill to be able to adjust and modify the plan and the strategy based on what's going on in your body and what's coming up in your life. You know how to do that and you'll be unstoppable. You'll be unbeatable. You'll always win the game. Whatever game you're playing, you'll win. Yeah, those are my biggest 3 things.
Love it. Love it. And so obviously we talk mostly about Warrior School at the start, but I mean, how can people work with you through Warrior School?
Yeah, the biggest thing I'll say, Nikki, is come into my world. You know, come into my world, follow me on social media. I have a podcast. Go and listen to the entire library of the podcast. Read my emails. Just be in the world first and then decide if it's right for you or not. Very rarely do I accept women in that haven't been in my world at all or for a very short amount of time, because I just need you to understand kind of how I roll. It's a bit different. Yeah. I take a very different approach. You know, I work with you for at least 12 months. That's my commitment. That's really scary, like we just said, for a lot of women. So you had just come into the world and see, you know, there's lots of free resources in there and see if you like it. And then if you like it, eventually reach out, fill out an application form, and then we can have a conversation.
Mm. I think that's so important, isn't it? Because there's so much value in the podcast and, you know, that's the start of the education piece. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. And where do we find you on social media?
Yeah. Website, warriorschool.co. Social media, mainly on Instagram, Amy Kate Bowe, AmyKateBowe. That's where I show up the most. My podcast is the Warrior School podcast. Yeah, there's like 210 episodes there. So there's a lot you can dive
get
into.
Listening.
Yeah, get listening. Yeah. those that's where I show up. Website, Instagram, podcast.
And I think that's a great place for people to begin to enter and immerse themselves in your world. So thank you so much, Amy. It's been amazing to chat to you.
Thank you so much for having me, Nikki. It's a pleasure. I love talking to you.
I know, I love it. I can't wait to have you on again in the future. Just a reminder that the information discussed in the podcast is for educational purposes only and cannot encompass all the nuance and detail of every individual's lived experience. If you are needing some individual support, I do encourage you to book a free discovery call to start that journey. If you really love listening to How to Thrive, please consider leaving a review so more people can discover the podcast and share it with any friends or family that may also enjoy listening. If you subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform, you will get notified when new episodes are released. Any comments or questions, don't hesitate to drop me a line over on Instagram at Nikki Hursthaus. Until next time, take care and stay well.